All right, how are we all doing? Good. All right, good. So it's nearly Christmas. Woo! A few of you are a bit excited. So I want to do a little bit of a kind of a bring it all together thing. And so I'm going to be able to just kind of share a few thoughts with you today. I've got some kind of volunteers who are going to help me. I'm going to pass this mic out to today's mic runner for me, which is going to be Pete. And he's now literally running around to grab this for me. And we'll hand that off. But I want to talk a little bit today about the hope of Christmas, okay? So, because hope is a word that is linked and associated with this kind of time of year. So you go into Christmas shops, you go into card shops even, and there's Christmas cards with the word hope written on it. And so as I do this talk today, just so it might kind of help you to kind of remember my points, okay? We've got a few props that are down here in my Christmas box, which my lovely assistant is going to hand out to some primed volunteers who are going to help me today. That is my wife, by the way, in case you was wondering, okay? Here we go. Okay, then. So Christmas, New Year, time of year we start thinking about hope and what we're hoping for. Kids, put a hand up in the air and give me a wave if you're hoping for some Christmas presents this year. Yeah, a few of you. Okay. Pete, let's go to a couple of kids and find out what they're hoping for Christmas. So if you're happy to tell us something that you're hoping to get this Christmas, keep your hand up in the air and we'll find out. Don't go
too
all shy
nervous
on
at
this.
The back.
Come on, keep your hand up. Here we go.
An electric car.
A what was that?
An electric car.
An electric car. What, a real one? Because you can get really big ones now.
Anybody else? Yeah. Hands up.
Three sellotape dispensers.
Woo! It's a cheap Christmas for mum and dad.
A Fitbit.
A Fitbit. Nice. Okay, any more?
Laptop.
A laptop. It's not a cheap Christmas for mum and dad. If a
fish.
Fish.
And chips.
Hey. Couple more then.
Electric car.
An electric car for you as well.
Bike computer.
What was that?
A bike computer?
A bike computer. Okay, right. Let's have one more. We've got one. Tim's pointing. Have we got one over here somewhere? In here somewhere, I think we've got one. Last one then.
Paw Patrol camera.
A Paw Patrol camera.
Paw Patrol camera. Nice. I love it. Okay, so my daughter wants a laptop. Graham and Georgie's son wants sellotape dispensers. So I'm wondering when we perhaps trade off today, but anyway, so that's kind of some of what children are hoping for Christmas. As adults, it might be presents, but I guess at this time of year, we maybe think about as we're crossing into heading towards 2018, what we're hoping for next year. And so kind of we're kind of thinking a little bit around that. So let's get our volunteers down who there should be six of you out there. I've got Grace, Akechi, Evie, somebody else, I've not got a name written on that one, but they'll come. Pete's asked you to come down. If you, Sam, Tennant, and Jack, is that right? Who? Jake. Who? My son? Jake. Okay. And Jake, he's my son. Okay. So if you're down here, come down the front. Okay, so the first one is Grace. Where are you, Grace? Quickly run over to the Christmas box for me. Grab what's in the Christmas box. Come and stand on the stage and show everyone what's in the Christmas box for me today as you stand up here, Grace. Okay.
Binoculars.
What do you do with binoculars, Grace?
You look through them to see things bigger.
You look through them to see things bigger. Okay, so you're looking for stuff. Just have a little look out there. How's it looking today? Scary?
No.
No. Okay. Good looking bunch? Yeah. Okay. So here's the first point. Thank you, Grace. Grace, you're going to go and sit down with these. But I believe that everyone is looking for hope, okay? So Grace, go and grab a seat because we're going to need you back in a little bit. So the first point is everyone is looking for hope. We love the idea of hope, okay? We want to feel reasons for hope. But sometimes, okay, we'll come to that next bit. Sometimes as parents or young children, we have moments like this. Now, Jess, are you ready with that first video for me? So just sometimes we have a moment like this.
Oh,
it. What did Santa bring?
I want it. I want a toy.
What is it?
I want a toy.
Look.
I want a toy.
Open it up. See what it is. Look, it's a princess shirt.
I want a toy. I want a toy. I want a toy.
It's a lovely princess shirt.
I want a toy. I want a toy.
Don't you like it?
I want a toy.
Anyone ever been there where they've received a present that they've been disappointed with? Come on. Anyone ever received a gift from someone and they've been a bit disappointed with it? I'm sure we've all been in that place. It's just that maybe as adults, perhaps we're a little bit better at disguising our disappointment than we are as children. Okay, now Claire loves hoodies. Everyone knows what a hoodie is, jumpers. Yeah, Claire loves hoodies, and Claire gets what I would call hoodie envy, okay? So if Claire sees someone wearing a nice hoodie, and it's always, oh, it looks so nice and cozy, Claire gets hoodie envy. Oh, I want a nice hoodie. I want a cozy hoodie. And I remember this one year, and it wasn't even just before Christmas, but several times during the course of this year, Claire mentioned, I really want a nice cozy hoodie. I really would like a nice cozy hoodie. Well, being the romantic I am, I decided what she'd really like for Christmas is a pair of wellies, right? And so... So I went out and bought her, because it's not just about what you want, it's about what you need, okay? And so I went out and bought her a nice pair of wellies. And I was really excited to give her this pair of wellies on Christmas Day, and they were good wellies, and they were in a really big box, which always gives you a reason for hope when there's a big box with your name on it. And I handed her this box, and she kind of, her eyes lit up, and it's, ooh, what's he got me? Big box, and excitedly opened this, and then this kind of look. Just kind of come across her face. And she tried her very level best to look pleased and to not look disappointed. But I could tell she was thinking, he really bought me wellies, okay? And anyway, the wellies got returned, okay? The wellies were not what she wanted. Well, they didn't fit anyway because I naffed that one up. But there was disappointment with the gift. Now, on a serious note, sometimes in life, right, things don't turn out like the way we hope. Okay, and sometimes we're disappointed because things don't turn out like the way we hope they will. We don't always get what we hoped for. You wanted a hoodie, but life gave you wellies. Okay, you wanted a toy, but life gave you a princess shirt. And maybe, as I say, as adults, we're better at hiding our disappointment. When things don't turn out, though, seriously, like when things don't turn out like we hope, it can be really hard to take. And it's hard to handle disappointment when things don't turn out like we hope. You see, the second thing that comes out of our Christmas box and is finally being modelled by this young man here, doesn't he look great? Give him a round of applause, look. What does this say, mate?
Fragile.
Okay, do you know what fragile means? What does fragile mean?
It's when you drop something, it could break.
So when you drop something and it could break, it could easily break. Okay, so the second point this morning is this: not only is everyone looking for hope, okay, but often what happens is our hope feels very, everyone say it,
fragile.
Good lad, you go sit down. I'm gonna need you back if you can walk freely. Over here with Grace for me, buddy. That's it, come sit over here. Sometimes our hope feels fragile because how much hope I have depends on how things are going, okay, how well things are going. So every year I hope that Liverpool will win the Premier League. Hang on. As do all good Christians, okay? Oh, wow. It's first time. Right now you're hoping I'm going to get my coat, okay, and leave. Never been booed before, right? Okay. This is hurting, okay. But I lose hope, right? Now, life feels a lot like that because when things go well and I feel like things are going well, I have hope. When they don't go so well, I lose hope. When things don't work out, I lose hope. If there's a chance of something happening, I begin to feel hope. If I feel there's no chance of something happening, I lose hope. And so in life, it's like I need reasons to give me hope. But when hope is kind of based on and centered around the circumstances of life, which are so up and down and so unpredictable, life in life, hope feels very fragile. Feels very easily broken. And so rather than hope, what I feel like I have is actually more like wishful thinking or even vague optimism. But you see, the hope of Christmas is the birth of a different kind of hope. So who's our next willing volunteer that's bringing our next item out of the Christmas box? Evie, can you carry that up here for us, sweetheart, please? Okay, come and stand up on the stage with this. Okay, Evie, what have we got here? A baby, okay, in a stable, in a manger, okay? And so basically, the reason this is here is because I want us all to understand this morning that Jesus was born to bring hope into the world, but not a wishful thinking, vague optimism kind of hope, but a hope that makes a difference. So the story of Christmas, the story of Christmas hope, is that Jesus was born to bring real hope into the world. Can you carry baby Jesus over there without dropping him? The whole thing. Well done. See, Matthew chapter 12, are we ready, Pete? Matthew chapter 12, verse 21 is speaking about Jesus' birth. Okay, it's connected to a prophecy about Jesus' birth, and it says this.
His name, Jesus, will be the hope of the world.
Can you read that again for me?
His name, Jesus, will be the hope of the world.
His name, Jesus, will be the hope of the world. Now, the really interesting thing is the environment into which Jesus was born. The environment into which actually hope came. Because nativity presentations or stories or scenes, they often make it look very kind of nice and peaceful and quite cozy, you know, nicely pressed tea towels on people's heads and a peaceful and calm kind of scene. But actually what Jesus was born into was a really chaotic environment. It was really hard times in which hope came into the world. Roman oppression at that point in time, okay, was unbearable. And the guy who was ruling, King Herod, he was a bit of a madman, okay, because we know that because some of the things he went on to do when he heard about the birth of Jesus. So there was kind of really hard, difficult times. Then Joseph and Mary, okay, who remember are having God's son. Okay, now you'd think if God's sending his son into the world, he'd book a hotel or something, wouldn't you, really? You know, you'd think that God would take care of making sure there's somewhere for his son to stay. But Joseph and Mary find themselves in a stable with an animal trough for a cot or a Moses basket. And it wasn't easy. And you'd think to yourself, whoa, what's going on here? You see, hope wasn't born. Hope didn't come in the midst of easy and peaceful circumstances. Hope came when it was hard. And the hope of Christmas is that Jesus brings hope into hard situations. True hope doesn't just come through the series of good circumstances. I believe it's found through Jesus Christ. But that hope only comes by placing our trust in God. You see, everyone who was part of that scene, from Joseph and Mary to the shepherds to the wise men, everyone was part of that. That was one thing that God asked of them to do in order to discover real hope, and that was to trust him. Hundreds of years earlier, the people have been prophesying about the birth of Jesus. What, where, when? He speaks to Joseph and Mary, wise men and shepherds, about the birth of the Son. But the challenge was, could they trust God to do what he'd promised to do? Could they trust God to keep his word? Could they trust him when it was hard? Because it had to be hard for Joseph to believe initially that the baby in Mary's tummy was miraculously from God and not someone else's. It had to be hard for Mary to walk around and look at people in the eye and try and explain to them, hey, this is God's son that God has miraculously put there and I'm carrying him, without kind of all that they're thinking and wondering what's going on. How many people know it has to be hard to travel over 3 months and over 1,000 miles on the back of a camel? That sounds pretty hard. That's what they reckon, the kind of distance that the wise men had to kind of travel. It would have been a bit nicer if the whole thing could have been a bit easier. But they found hope because they trusted God to do what he said he could do. See, there's a bit in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 which says this.
Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise.
See, every promise that God made concerning the birth of Jesus, he kept and it came true. And now the thing is that sadly, God doesn't always promise us the things that we kind of wish for and we kind of maybe hope for in life. You know, like I always want to be healthy all the time. I want life to go easily. I want life to go well. I want comfort and even some of the outcomes that we're kind of wishing for and hoping for. God doesn't always promise that they turn out exactly like we might hope. But what does God promise? See, that's what we need to know. What does God promise? Because it's from the promises of God that we find hope. Well, here's just a few of them. He's promised those who trust him, he'll always be with them. That he'll never leave them nor forsake them. That he'll care for them. That he'll provide for them. That he'll guide them. That he'll give them wisdom. He's a promise that his love will never fail them. That he'll always forgive them if they make a mistake. That he will work all things out for good in their life. That he will give them comfort in tough times. He will help us overcome temptation. He will carry our burdens and struggles and problems. He will give us strength and peace. He will free us from our fears. And that's just a few of his promises. And what happens is when I place my confidence in those promises, knowing that God will do those things, then I begin to find a real hope. A hope that helps me even when it's hard. You see, the next thing that comes out of my Christmas box today is this, because the Bible says something about hope and what hope is like. Here we go. Sam, can you carry that up here for us, buddy? That's it. Come stand on the stage. Sam, hold it up and tell everyone, well, do you know what you got there, mate? You don't? Okay, well, let's see if we can get some people to guess what we've got here. Who can guess what is in here? Go on, Amy, what do you think it is? No, it's not a graveling hook. That's a good answer. Anyone else? Who's got me a not a fan. Ooh, Ben? An anchor. Okay, an anchor. Sam, what do you use anchors for? Do you know what you use anchors for, buddy? Any ideas? No? All right, anyone else want to help him out? Mr. Nash? Master Nash? Okay, so or even out at sea as well, but Sam says to stop ships from moving. Okay, so what does an anchor do? Well, an anchor gets to the bottom of something, so the bottom of the seabed, and an anchor holds on tight, and the idea being that that holds you steady and firm. So the idea is this, that in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, it says,
this hope God gives is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul.
Okay, so God gives a hope to us that doesn't float about on the surface of our situations, but when we're going through stuff, it gets to the bottom of it and it holds on tight. It's a hope that holds us steady and firm. And so God's promises are like an anchor to our soul. I hold on to them and they fill me with hope. Thank you, my friend. Go and sit down over there for me. And the last thing the penultimate thing that's coming out of my next box, okay, is not that one. It's the other one. Thank you. I think I'm a person short down here. That might be my fault. So perhaps one more child can come over here for me and give us a hand. Okay, so Jake, what have you got? Come and stand up here for me, mate, and turn it around and hold it up for everyone to see. Okay, I'll count to three and everyone's got to read out what Jake's box says, okay? I'll count down from three. Three, two, one.
Wonderful hope.
Okay, so that is something that the Bible talks about, okay? So we're nearly done now this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, okay, says this.
Now may our Lord God, Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say.
Brilliant. So God gives the gift of wonderful hope. Go sit down for me, buddy. Hope, it says, that comforts me. Hope, it says, that strengthens me. So even when I face tough times, I can feel comforted and strengthened because I have hope. It says in every good thing you do and say, so in everything I do, everything I face, everything I go through, there is a hope that can help me through. A guy called Rick Warren said this, you're not hopeless or helpless when you have God in your life. Life can be tough. Life can be changeable. Life can be unpredictable. But I have hope because he's promised he'll always be with me. He'll be there for me. He'll never leave me. He'll care for me, provide for me, guide me, give me wisdom. His love will never fail me. He'll always forgive me. He'll always work things out for good. He'll comfort me in hard times. He'll help me to overcome difficult moments. He'll carry my burdens, give me strength and peace, and free me from my fears. Wow. And the last thing that comes out of my box today, which is going to be beautifully modeled down here, I'm sure. Can you come up here for me, sweetheart? And can you hold that high up above your head for me, Evie? There we go. Right up high, Evie. Up above your head. Can you read this from where you are? Not terribly well. That's my fault. It says, someone on the front row, Len, what does it say, buddy? It says, heaven. Thank you, sweetheart. Can you go and sit over there with him? You see, the hope that God gives, and this is my last point, is a hope that goes beyond this life alone. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you.
So two things, a living hope. Okay, so when you ask Jesus into your life, you get a living hope. That means it's not dormant, it's not dead. That means it impacts your life now. Okay, that means changes what's going on in your life now. It's alive, it transforms me, it impacts my life. But the awesome thing is this, it doesn't end there because the hope that God gives goes beyond this life. There is hope for after this life. You see, for some people it's like this, I hope this life isn't it. I hope there's something after this. I hope that if heaven's real, I hope one day that I'll go there. I hope I've lived a good enough life. But the hope that God gives is not that kind of hope where we're just kind of wishing for that or feeling vaguely optimistic about it. The Bible definition of hope is this, to expect, to wait with joy and full confidence. So it's that feeling that although I don't have something yet in my life, because God has promised it, okay, I'm expecting it with confidence. I'm waiting for it. There's this joy. There's this full confidence about me that it will be mine. Someone once said, we have hope because God has secured our future. And when everyone puts their trust in Jesus, in what he's done, his death on the cross and his resurrection, it says we have an inheritance. An inheritance is something in the future that's waiting for us. We don't have it yet, but our name's on it. We know it's to come. We know it's ours. It's eternal life and heaven. So a relationship with Jesus gives you hope for today and hope for tomorrow. So let me get all my fantastic volunteers to come back along here, and we're going to line you up because we're going to recap about Christmas hope. So Grace, you come and stand up here for me and face that way. There we go. One at a time. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. Beautiful. Okay, right. So that's it. You squeeze on there. And then you two on here. Okay, so let's go down the line then, boys and girls, and see if you can remember this, okay? Because we're going to recap how real hope is found, okay? And when you put your hope in Jesus. So the first thing to remember is this, that everybody's searching or looking for hope. Okay, but when our hope is just in things in life going well and we're hoping for good circumstances, our hope feels very because life goes up and down and it's unpredictable and we don't know what life's going to do for us. But the story of Christmas is that Jesus was born to bring hope into the world. Okay, and what is that hope like? That hope is like a which means what? It holds us steady and firm. Okay, gets to the bottom of the tough situations that we're going through in life, okay? But this hope that we're all looking for, this hope that we really want that's not fragile and not easily broken, it is a
wonderful.
It's a wonderful gift, a gift that only God can give. But it's not just a hope for this life and everything that we've got in this life. It's a hope that goes beyond this life and leads us to an inheritance in ta-da! Well done, princess. Right, a round of applause for all my wonderful volunteers. And maybe you can just come back up. We're going to shortly close with a couple of songs. But I just want to say this, that Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says that God is the source of hope. And it also says there that through a relationship with him. Now listen to this, because you might think, I've never experienced that in my life. I don't even know if I'm experiencing that today. But it says this, it says we can overflow with confident hope. Many people are looking forward to Christmas. May have had a great year. Maybe you're not, and maybe you haven't. But there is a person who is a source of hope, who has made promises that give us comfort and strength and real hope no matter what we're going through. See, hope has come. Hope is here, and God wants to give it. And hope becomes yours when you take hold of it. The very last scripture I want to read to you this morning, wherever Pete is, I'm looking out there, he's ready, is this one from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18.
We who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us.
We who have fled to him, we who have run to God, can have great confidence. I love that. Great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. You see, you got to take a hold of this hope. So I just want to encourage you this morning, don't leave today disconnected from hope. You can know the hope of Christmas today. So take a hold of hope. It happens when you open your heart and your life to Jesus. Because he was born to bring the hope that we all need.